Brady Saar, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services, Erskine. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Rand. Northern Plains will have more rain and a possible frost before that happens. Rain is currently falling across much of North Dakota and northern South Dakota. Here's Bismarck, North Dakota-based National Weather Service meteorologist Nathan Heinert.
We have a pretty large area of low pressure that's moving across the Canadian border. Currently in northeast Montana and southern Saskatchewan, and that system is drawing up a lot of moisture from the south, bringing widespread showers to much of northern South Dakota and much of western, central, and eastern North Dakota. Thus far, we've seen any rainfall amounts between a quarter to half an inch reported, but we'll probably get some more report through the day, and then especially tomorrow morning when our cooperative observers send in their reports.
The National Weather Service has the majority of the Red River Farm Network listening area in a hazardous weather outlook. But Heinert says widespread thunderstorms are not expected. Scattered rain will continue through Friday night, bringing in the cooler air and a possible snow mixed in with rain in western North Dakota.
So definitely could see some the freezing temperatures across western and central areas of state, as well as northeastern areas of North Dakota. Not so much the southeast part of the state. We're expecting those temperatures to remain above freezing, but anywhere else could see those freezing or sub-freezing temperatures and then areas of frost formation. Frost and freeze headlines are definitely expected over some areas of the state as we head into the weekend. This is going to be mainly for Friday night, Saturday morning. As we get into Saturday night and Sunday morning, it's going to be more over western areas of North Dakota that could see those freezing temperatures.
The recent rainfall continues to improve the dry conditions in the Dakotas and Minnesota. According to the latest U.S. Drought Monitor, the severe drought conditions in northwestern North Dakota improved to moderately dry conditions. Abnormally dry conditions remain in the west. The moderately dry conditions in northern South Dakota improve to abnormally dry. Most of Minnesota is no longer in drought, with the exception of a few southern counties bordering Iowa.
Potato growers in the Red River Valley are trying to get something planted ahead of the rains. Larimore, North Dakota-based Hoverson Farm started on Monday. Owner Carl Hoverson says this is the latest their potatoes grown for processing have been planted in 10 years.
It happens about every 10 years we have some later spring on average, you know, but we're catching up. We have a lot of equipment that we can put in a lot of potatoes in a day. We can put in 500-600 acres a day. So we'll catch up to some degree, but it's still later. But it's been cool this spring, so, you know, we're hoping that weather changes now pretty soon, especially when we get done planting. It warms up, ground warms up, and hopefully it'll catch up to some degree so we can have a successful harvest.
Hoverson is glad they did not start planting potatoes before this week.
If you didn't have much of it in, we could have had seed issues, seed in the field, so we're probably better off we just didn't start till now, because then now our crop can come up and be very successful, have a good crop, so hopefully we won't have too many more hard rains after this point.
University of Minnesota Extension crops and soils educator Jody DeYoung-Hughes says the rain they had last week prevented farmers from planting until later this week and left a crust over the fields.
I've seen a couple rotary hoes out there trying to break up some compaction. If they had more residue out there, then that would protect it from the raindrops. Soil particles can be thrown 3 to 5 feet with a single raindrop, so you know, they have a lot of energy to them, and if you have some residue down, that helps break up that so you don't get the crusting issue. And since we've had those pounding rains, there are people that will need to do that. But so many of the fields weren't even planted that their spring tillage will take care of that right before planting.
DeYoung-Hughes saw some fields that had blowing topsoil yesterday from wind gusts.
Because there's enough fields that are dry just on the surface, because we did have some nice drier weather, and you know, I've seen areas, fields that they'll have drown out spots in them, but they're still blowing soil. Because clay is, an individual particle of clay is microscopic. It can't be seen with the human eye. And, you know, that can blow so easily. It doesn't need much drying before the soil can start blowing.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson were in Benson yesterday to meet with farmers and check out the storm damage from last week. Peterson says it's sobering to see the damage.
A lot of machine sheds just gone, a lot of bin sites just gone or severely damaged, and really a big mess, you know, that farmers are dealing with. The bins may have blown away, got into the field, so, you know, picking that up, but then the bins, they might have been next to are damaged, you know, just destruction. I think the common thread was, in general, even though we did lose a life and we have another person who's in critical condition, you know, the farmers were grateful that those things can be rebuilt. But there's a lot of physical damage in that west central Minnesota area.
Peterson says many farmers in the Benson area haven't turned a wheel for planting. That's an added stress.
They're worrying first about getting their crop in. The clock's ticking. And then they have, you know, a huge cleanup mess and a lot of issues on that. So that west central area is really struggling. I think if you go down a little bit more south central, that the crop's getting in. Most farmers are still like, this is a critical week. You know, if it can dry out, but it rained yesterday, there's rain in the forecast today. You know, if it can dry out, I think most of the farmers still feel they're optimistic.
Peterson reminds farmers to document losses and report those to the local Farm Service Agency office. Governor Walz will be asking USDA to unlock emergency loans in case farmers need access to those funds.
According to the Wheat Quality Council Winter Wheat Tour participants, the final winter wheat estimate for Kansas is at 261 million bushels. That's 10 million bushels less than the USDA estimate of 271 million bushels from 2 weeks ago. Hear more details from the tour during Country Morning on Friday. For more information from the Red River Farm Network, visit Facebook and Twitter. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Minnesota's agriculture drought relief bill is expected to be combined with the agriculture finance and policy bill, but it must pass through conference committee first. Minnesota Senate and House Agriculture Committee leaders reached an agreement early this morning. Minnesota Ag Finance and Policy Committee Chairman Mike Sandin calls it a comprehensive little bill.
When I say little, the target that we had to shoot for was, I would say, inadequate. Given the money in the state coffers, I was disappointed with the target. But that being said, we did touch as many bases as we could to get the ag bill done.
Sundin would not dive into many details of the ag supplemental funding bill because conference committee members have not had a chance to review the language yet. However, Sundin did release the details of the updated $18 million drought relief package. The Department of Natural Resources would get $5 million to plant trees, and there's a little money set aside for wells. Here's the breakdown of the ag portion of the bill.
There's $8.1 million for specialty crop and assistance to livestock farmers impacted by the drought. There's a pretty decent amount of money going out in the grants that way. You know, the payment amounts are broken down so we can touch as many farmers effectively as possible. Some of the money was transferred into the Rural Finance Authority, $2.5 million there going in for the drought relief revolving loans, and then $1 million going into veterinary disease testing equipment. It was also $1.5 million into the emergency account.
Sundin does not expect a conference committee meeting until Friday. If the bill passes the committee, the package could be heard on the House floor tomorrow or Saturday. A robust broadband bill is also expected to be attached to this package.
Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau is starting to hear feedback from crop farmers on the emergency relief program announced earlier this week.
Sentiment in the field is that ERP is going to be a great deal for them, but the challenges of weather-related adversity persists. Now in some cases it's too wet to get the crop in the ground. Other places in the country it's still too dry to put a crop in the ground, and that has challenges with the insurance policies the producers may have bought.
According to Ducheneau, not much can be done by FSA alone to help farmers navigate the extremely wet conditions, but FSA will work with the Risk Management Agency to find flexibilities. Ducheneau says existing USDA programs are working toward a more permanent solution to helping farmers weather the extremes.
Starting to do things in a way that can on a micro level start to change climate to our benefit so that we get a steadier climate reality for our producers. The radical fluctuations are the challenge. Producers can deal with something that they can kind of plan on, but when you go from terribly dry to too wet to having a 100-mile-an-hour wind cover three states, that we've got to do something better about engaging in climate smart practices all across the country.
Hub City Livestock Auction co-owner Steve Helwig says they had over 5,000 cattle in yesterday's sale.
The big cattle would be a little lower. Anything that's suitable for grass, however, was very, very strong, especially a steer weighing 750, 775. We did have one load of 77 real nice black steers, weighed 779, and they bring 181.50. Would be the highest cattle we've sold all year going to grass. But then turn around and sell the cattle weighing 8.5 to 1,000 pounds. I would call those cattle 1 to 2 to 3 lower here this week.
Helwig saw the aftermath of the late spring winter storms that hit the upper Midwest by the number of open cows that sold.
We did have a decent run of cows. I would say we probably sold 500 weigh-up cows on Tuesday. We're seeing the effects of the bad weather. A lot of these cows have lost calves, and the butcher cow run is still pretty heavy yet. And then we had our first big run of pairs here this week. We had about 400 cow-calf pairs, and they sold very good. These first calf-heifer pairs on Tuesday sold in a range from $2,100 up to $2,500.
U.S. milk production declined 1% from last year at 19.2 billion pounds. The number of milk cows on farms in the United States, according to USDA, is at 9.4 million head. That's 98,000 head less than 1 year ago. Don't forget, you can find out more about the Red River Farm Network radio affiliates, listen to this broadcast, podcast, and more on your phone. Just go to rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Land values have increased during the second quarter of 2022. Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, Omaha branch executive Nate Kaufman says land values are slowly increasing.
The most recent data that we have there would suggest that land values are still holding up pretty well. In fact, we actually saw an increase from the fourth quarter again to the first quarter. Which means that overall values are about 20 to 25% higher than what they were at this time last year.
Kaufman says input costs and commodity prices are keeping credit conditions strong.
So on that front, alongside the increases in land values and generally speaking pretty high incomes, we're seeing credit conditions remain pretty strong. That would be against some of the headwinds around input costs. We've heard a lot of comments about challenges with inflationary pressures and fertilizer or machinery being a couple of specific examples. But with the very high commodity prices for the middle of the country anyway, those categories of agriculture still seem to be doing well, which means that overall producers have been in a pretty good financial position.
The grain market is stuck between the outside macro markets and tight supplies. Top Third Ag Marketing market analyst Dan Smith says planting progress is adding to the uncertainty.
You know, there's a lot of ground that's, you know, it's they can't get planted right now in the corn states, in the northern tier states. And, you know, that may have an effect down the road. I mean, at 177, we're awful skinny as far as the carryout numbers go. And we can't lose any acres or any more yield, or we're going to be, you know, really, really tight.
Taking a look at those markets here before we leave you this afternoon. July Minneapolis wheat down 26.25 at 13.26.5. July Chicago wheat down 32.75 at 11.98. July corn up 2.25 at 7.84. December corn down 4.25 at 7.36. July beans up 29.75 at 16.92.5. November beans up 16 at 15.15.5. June live cattle down 7 cents at 130.142. August up 15 cents. May feeder cattle down $1.67 at $154.17. Thanks for joining us. This is the Red River Farm Network.